Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, The 5 Superpowers of Persuasion. My name is Eliana Raggio and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the brand new Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that is brave enough to offer a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. And Dealer On is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming NADA convention in Las Vegas at the end of March. If you're going to be there, stop by booth 6626N. We have the best booth around. And big news for you, everyone at Dealer On is super excited about NADA. In fact, we're so excited. We're running a promotional opportunity to check out our amazing products at Dealer On. So here's the deal. Pre-schedule and attend a demo at NADA with Dealer On, and you're going to get $100. It's that simple. Sign a Dealer On purchase contract at the show, and we're going to upgrade that $100 to an iPad Air 2 or an Apple Watch, your choice. Go to DealerOn.com/DealerOn-Takes-NADA-2016 and fill out the form to pre-schedule your demo today. And you know what? We're going to see you at NADA. And we have a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Greg Wells as our presenter today. Greg Wells is the president of All Call Multichannel BDC, an outsourced BDC providing a menu of services for forward-thinking dealers and GMs in the U.S. and Canada. The company provides its dealers a full-service BDC and their industry-exclusive online customer experience tool, Verishow. All Call is staffed with highly trained expert communicators working in a unique and exciting environment. Their slogan says it all. We are your BDC. Starting his first BDC in 1993, Greg has experienced the evolution of the phone, the internet, and automotive business development centers. Greg has trained and consulted with hundreds of dealerships and thousands of dealership frontline employees. Greg's knack for making the complex sparkle with simplicity and his born-from-experience teaching style has made him a popular speaker at many events, including Driving Sales Executive Summit, Digital Dealer, Industry Summit, and CRM Users Summit. Greg can be reached at greg@myallcall.com or on his cell anytime, 859-983-0370. During the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference, and please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at All Call, they're giving away an amazing prize today on the webinar. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win an Amazon Echo. It is so cool. Your life is totally not going to be the same once you get one of these. I know, because I have one, and it's awesome. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned. You could be winning this sweet prize today. Also, at the conclusion of the webinar, you're going to receive a short survey. So fill it out, because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience. Today, we're going to randomly select a couple of people from all those completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so tag us in it. You can use #DealerOnWebby. I'm @ElianaRaggio. You can also hit up Greg Wells @GregWellsBDC. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn about the 5 superpowers of persuasion. Greg Wells, so glad to have you back on the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And to be quite honest with you, when you told me that this was going to be the title of your show, I was like, wait, there's 5 superpowers of persuasion? Like, I literally could only come up with 2. So I'm very excited to know what the 5 superpowers of persuasion are, and I know we have a lot of people on today's show looking forward to hearing the same. I know you have a lot to get to, so where do we begin?
Well, first I'll tell you that there are five superpowers in this powers of persuasion in this webinar, but the person I've met that is the most persuasive would be my wife, and she only knows one superpower of persuasion, and she has mastered it.
Are you going to tell me what that superpower is?
No, we'll save that for another day.
Okay, so, got it, over drinks. My friend, okay.
Yeah. So what I hope we learned today, some objectives. The first is just the content we're going to look at today is very basic. There's really nothing original in here. It's just time-tested ways to be good on the phone, really. This is really centered around the telephone, although everything would migrate to the showroom, to an email, really however you're communicating with someone. These basic fundamentals will make you that expert communicator. Also want to show you how to control a call. Whoever's controlling the call or whoever's asking the questions is controlling the call. And of course, we want to be able to set more appointments, and then at the end we'll have a question and answer session for any questions you have about the content today. We're going to start out with this. Everybody has seen this. This is the impact of communication, and we know that communication is primarily visual, right? It's body language, semantics, facial expressions. This is really how we communicate, and it's how we learn to communicate. We were fluent in body language as toddlers way before we could talk. 38% of communication is vocal. It's voice inflection. It's tonality. And again, we learned in that order. We learned body language, and we started to learn how tonality affects communication. I've got a 3-year-old granddaughter. She could communicate with us way before she could talk, and that was all body language. And she learned what tonality meant. She learned the difference in Emma, don't do that, and Emma, stop that, right? She learned tonality. Then finally, we learn words. And, you know, we think words are everything, but as far as communication goes, you know, it's really how you say it and what your body's saying. Now, when we get on the telephone with someone, you look at this, you realize, well, gosh, we lose 55% of our impact when we get on the phone, because now the body language is out of there. So tonality and the words, they mean everything on the telephone. And then think about composing an email. You know, you lose that tonality. So we've just got to really practice and learn how to be persuasive no matter how we're communicating with that customer, whether it be on the phone or in an email. Maybe it's a video. Maybe it's in a live chat session. Or maybe it's even a good old-fashioned handwritten note. So that's what... you know, that's what I want to show you today is how to be persuasive, how to be a good communicator when you're not face-to-face with someone. So the first one we're going to start with is a 2,400-year-old piece of wisdom, and that's Aristotle's Triangle of Rhetoric. And most people have heard of this. It's easy to find information on it. And what Aristotle said, that in any rhetoric where you have a speaker who's persuading an audience, so that's you on the phone with a customer, there are three elements that are always in play, and they're ethos, pathos, and logos. And you can kind of see these are Latin words, so you look at the word ethos, and you can see how ethics might have come from that word. When we look at pathos, empathy, sympathy, that is really the customer, the way the customer feels with what you're saying. And then logos, you see the word logo in there, and logos just means to be understood, right? It's just a clear, simple explanation of what something is. So, for example, when you see the Nike swoosh, you know, hey, that's Nike. It's clear, it's easy to understand. So, what Aristotle Triangle tells us is that we have to be credible to our customer, and we have to build trustworthiness, and we have to display ethics. There's several ways we do that. First one is to, you've got to be an expert, right? Our customers are very knowledgeable. They have a lot of information about your product, about their financing options, about the value of their trade. So customers come to us these days with a lot of information. So you can't let your customer know more about your profession than you do. So you have to be the expert. And by being the expert, you build that trust with the customer. They now see you as a trusted advisor or as an asset, right? Someone that's helping them through this process of shopping or buying for a car. Another way we can build credibility is to be a name dropper. For example, if I work in a Toyota store, the Toyota brand has a lot more credibility than, say, the name of my dealership. So we do things like that to build up our credibility and improve our ethos. With pathos, it's really the customer and are you showing empathy? Are you evoking emotion? Are you playing to the customer's imagination? And the customer's not always going to remember what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. So when we're on the telephone, we want to bring the emotion to it. And since we think in pictures and we don't have any body language, we really want to be very descriptive when we describe things, and the customer's going to see that. For example, if I say, Barcelona red Camry, you don't picture the words Barcelona red Camry, you picture the car. So we think in pictures, and I'll show you how we use that on the telephone to persuade our customers. And lastly, logos is just clear, easy to understand, it's logical. So as the expert, you're playing to the customer's emotion, and you're doing so in a clear, easy to understand, logical way. Einstein said, if you can't explain it in simple terms, then you don't fully understand it. So we've just got to take the complexity out of it, make things simple, easy to understand, be credible, and always understand that buying a car is an emotional experience for a customer. If they're shopping online, it's kind of a very analytical process. There's really no emotion involved. So we've got to bring that to the table. We've got to bring that to the table every time we're on the phone or communicating, remotely with a customer. So that, just to sum that up, appear credible. Seek first to understand your customer, and then seek to be understood. And this is how Stephen Covey took Aristotle's triangle, and he kind of converted it into these three phrases, which for our purposes today work really well. So Eliana, let's get started with a poll question. You ready?
I'm ready, audience. I hope you're ready, too. You have two poll questions today. The first one is on your screen now. And here it is. Which element of Aristotle's triangle of rhetoric is associated with imagination? Please select one of the following. Do you believe it's logos, ethos, pathos, mojos? Oh, yeah, totally mojos. Or who is this Aristotle dude you're talking about, dude? All right, so once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. We have a lot of people on here today, so I'm hoping all of you guys will get involved with our poll questions. It always lets us know that, A, you're paying attention to us, and two, that sometimes we find out some cool information about what's happening about you and your dealership. All right, so which element of Aristotle's triangle of rhetoric do you believe is associated with imagination? Logos, ethos, pathos, mojos, or I don't know what you're talking, dude. All right, so a lot of people have voted, not everyone, so I'll give you another couple seconds. I also want to remind you, take great notes because we have a great prize giveaway later on. Don't forget to tweet out any awesomeness that you might pick up today from our presenter, Greg Wells, and use the hashtag DealerOnWebby. You can also hit up Greg at GregWellsBDC. And don't forget to tag me. I'm at Eliana Raggio. All that Twitter information is down in the bottom left-hand corner of all of your slides. All right, Greg, if you're ready, we're going to close this poll and share the results. You ready?
All right.
Yep. Here we go. All right, 24%, so about a quarter of today's audience, think that imagination is associated with ethos. And the majority, 76%, said they believe imagination is associated with pathos. Now, Greg, I am sure you are about to tell me what the correct answer is.
Well, it is pathos.
It is so, pathos. Yeah. Oh, all right. Thank you very much for playing along, everyone. Don't worry, we got another poll question coming your way in a little bit, so stay tuned.
Let's see. When you pop that up there, there we go.
Oh, it kicked you out? Oh, that's
yeah,
fun.
We look good?
Yeah, it looks good.
All right. The second one is we always want to create chemistry, not conflict. So I realize that in the process that there's always going to be some confrontation unless the customer's a lay down. But that confrontation is usually brought by the customer, right? I used to tell customers if you pay sticker, you'll get out quicker, right? And they're like, well, we've got all day, because they want to negotiate. But when we're on the telephone, we're trying to persuade that customer to come to the showroom. We really want to avoid any conflict and avoid any friction with that customer. So I've got a goal in mind. We're always just trying to lower sales resistance. So customers are resistant to sales pressure. It's one of the reasons they're calling the dealership, right? They're trying to avoid that interaction with the salesperson because, frankly, they're afraid you're going to close them, right? It's almost like pre-buyer's remorse. So when we're on the telephone, we want to lower sales resistance as much as possible. And we do that in a variety of ways. I've got a model on the screen now. It says see, do, get. And it's not the easiest thing to explain, over the web, but basically it's really the law of the universe that when we think about what we're getting, when we think about results, positive or negative, those really come from our behavior. It comes from our attitude. It comes from our actions. It comes from what we're doing. And that always comes from our perception, right, or our paradigm. So how we see the world determines what we do, and from that are the results that we're getting. So the first thing I would tell you about this is, if you are a BDR, if you're an internet salesperson, if you're a salesperson, you have to see yourself as a professional. You have to see yourself as the expert. And from that will come the behavior. The results are kind of preceded by our perception of ourselves and our perception of our customer and the interaction they're looking for. We can plug in some different words here, too. We could plug in the words be, do, have. Kind of means the same thing, and it's maybe a little easier to explain here. For example, if I wanted to be a millionaire, well, I can't be a millionaire unless I have $1 million, and I'm not going to accumulate $1 million until I do the things a millionaire would do. I have to, my behavior has to allow me to accumulate $1 million. So again, we look at the results we're looking for, coming from our behavior, which really comes in how we see ourselves, how we see our customer, and our perception is huge. We know successful car salespeople that they always have a great attitude, and that attitude has a huge effect on their behavior and how they communicate with customers and the things they do that make them successful, so that they have the results they're looking for. If we break it down a little further, I would tell you on the telephone that one of the most important things to do is just be confident. If you're confident, the customer's going to feel that and they're going to reflect that. They're going to show confidence in you when you show confidence in yourself. Be passionate about what you're doing. There should be excitement, a sense of urgency, but also it needs to come through to the customer that you really care about them and you're really trying to be a trusted advisor and provide them with the best experience as possible. Be curious. Ask a lot of questions. Whoever's asking the questions is controlling the call. But when we're curious, we ask the right questions to the customer, and we get that customer's story. And when we hear the customer's story, we kind of know the motivation and why they're looking for a particular vehicle or why they're looking to replace a vehicle. This is really going to help us be an advisor. And lastly, just be positive, be cheerful. Gosh, I love that in an automotive salesperson or a BDR. Hey, they're confident, they're excited about what they're doing, and they're cheerful. And all those things come through over the phone. And lastly, just be helpful. It's a big decision for a customer. It can be a complex process. They have hundreds and hundreds of choices out there. So just be helpful. Be an asset to that customer. It builds value in yourself. And when we're helpful, customers want to reward us with their business. As far as the do goes, always identify your customer. And what I mean by that, for example, if an internet, if you pick up an internet lead, just take a minute to identify your customer. Who are they? Have they done business with us before? Because if they have, we know a couple of things. One, they're not a prospect. They're our customer. We also know that we have history on this customer. We know how we closed the deal last time. We may see that they're using our service department. So when I'm conversing with that customer, I can use this data, I can use this history to just let them know, hey, I know who you are, and we appreciate your past business, and we're going to do everything we can to continue the relationship. Also, identifying your customer might be, I just noticed that you're 2 hours away. So instead of waiting for the customer to use that as an objection or an obstacle when you're trying to set an appointment, just bring it up in the beginning and say, hey, I see you're a couple hours away. It's not a problem. We do business with people all over the area, and we'll be happy to provide you with as much information as you need today so that when you come in, you have a very productive business, and we can make that simple and easy for you. You always want to use your customer's name in your dialogue. This is really going to relax them. They can't help it, right? They like to hear their name. It makes it more personable, and it really starts to build a relationship, right? When we introduce ourselves, we get our customer's name, we use their name in our dialogue, it just sets a different tone, and it's going to lower that sales resistance. Now, don't go crazy with it. We kind of use at least one time, no more than three times, we're going to use the customer's name and just fit that into our conversation. When we're trying to persuade the customer to come to the showroom, set an appointment that they're going to keep, it's better to make them feel served than sold. In other words, we know we don't want to try to sell the car over the phone, so just serve them, help them. Find out what steps they want to take prior to coming in and jump in there and help them get through those steps. Maybe we have a car they love, but they still want to research their trade. So offer to help with that. Hey, we've got a tool on our website, or walk them through it and just help them through that process. Maybe they're worried about financing. Hey, we can get pre-approved. We've got a secure credit app on our website. So I'm always just looking for ways to serve the customer, but really what I'm doing is moving them through the process, right? So if they're on a car, it may be their plan to not come to the dealership until they have some more information. I got to jump in, dig in, find out what boxes they're trying to check off so that when I ask for the appointment, that customer is ready. I'll always be the can-do dealer. Don't be the can't-do dealer. Always put things in a positive way. For example, a customer might ask you, well, what are you going to give me for my trade-in? And a lot of us instinctively say, well, you know, we can't give you that information over the phone. You have to bring it in. And it might be their policy to not do business with a dealer who can't help them with that over the phone. So instead of we can't do that, maybe we come back with, you know, our customers do a lot of research on sites like Edmunds and Kelley Blue Book, and you can expect a similar value here. This is normally going to satisfy the customer. Like, okay, you're using the same tools we are. You're using the same guides we are. I did not give them a trade figure, but I also did not tell them I can't help them get a trade figure because I've kind of pointed them in the right direction. Or maybe we just send them a link to the Black Book or Edmunds or Kelley Blue Book tool that we have on our website. Again, you're moving that customer through the process by being the person that can help. And just don't tell them, just never tell them you can't do something. Always find a way to take it out of the negation and put it into a positive spin. And then lastly, explain the process. Customers fear the unknown. So when we explain our process to them, one thing we like to do at all costs, we screen our customers. So if it's an internet customer, we'll ask them, you know, have you ever used the internet to buy a car before? And if they say yes, we're going to say, great, tell me, how did it go? And the customer's going to tell you all the things they liked and didn't like about that process. And in doing so, they're really going to tell you how to sell them a car or how to set an appointment. They're also going to tell you the things to avoid. Eliana, you mentioned Scott Reinert is on the webinar today. In Scott's dealership, they do a great job of explaining the process when their appointments are there. That's the first thing they do is they sit down with them, say, look, guys, here's how this works. Here's what we're going to do. And they walk them from that point all the way through the end. The customers relax because they know what's coming. They know what the process is. And, again, it just lowers that sales resistance. So we move on to the third one, and that is reflect. And this is the one I call every customer's kryptonite. Customers have no way to defend themselves against us when we know how to reflect and reflect properly. So let me show you what I mean by reflect. First of all, we have to listen. When we listen, we can't reflect the customer's meaning if we don't listen and pick up on truly what they're telling us. And there's different levels of listening. So for example, ignoring is actually one of the levels of listening. And ignoring means that we hear you, we just choose not to reply. Another level of listening is pretend listening. So we listen, but you know, we've heard this 100 times for customers, so we're just waiting for them to stop talking so we can come back with our brilliant comeback, right, that we've been taught. I get in trouble as a pretend listener sometimes. I'll ask my wife, how did your day go? And it takes her 10 minutes to tell me about the first 10 minutes of her day. And I kind of start to glaze over, and when I get in, I'm watching ESPN out of one eye, and I'm listening to her. And then where she gets me is with something like, so what do you think? And I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't know, because I wasn't really listening. I was just pretending to listen. Another one is attentive listening, and this is where most adults are. We listen, we nod. The customer can tell that we're listening, but we're still listening with the intent to reply. We're listening to the customer, and we're thinking about, okay, again, I've heard this 100 times, and I'm just waiting for them to stop so I can say this or that, whatever comeback I want to use. So we're really listening, but we're just waiting for them to stop talking so we can start talking. Now the highest level of listening is listening with empathy. This is when we listen with the intent to understand. We can put ourselves in the customer's shoes. We can think like our customer, and we can actually imagine ourselves being in their position. When we listen with empathy, it gives us the ability to repeat and reflect the customer's meaning, but also the customer's emotion. So we can reflect a couple ways. One, we can just repeat what they're saying. You do this when you sit down at the table to write up a deal. You know, what's your address? 701 Yukon. You might just repeat that, 701 Yukon Avenue, right? The customer knows that you're listening, and they know that you're getting it right. We can rephrase content. So if a customer tells me, you know, I'm driving a 2015 Dodge Charger, and I'm paying $600 a month. I'm spending a couple hundred in gas. I'm spending a couple hundred on insurance. Man, it's $1,000 a month for me to drive that car. Well, we can just take that message and repeat it back to them. Hey, I know how you feel. It sounds like a lot. Sounds like we need to find something that's going to lower that budget, but more importantly, get you in a better fuel economy situation, maybe better insurance. Is this what you're telling me, Mr. Customer? And they're always going to agree with that. Customers don't disagree with themselves. So when you repeat content, when you rephrase content, the customer's always going to agree with you. And so once we start to gain that agreement, this is where the customer starts to trust you. They feel like, hey, this girl gets me, or this guy gets me. They understand. So that goes all the way back to we listened with the intent to understand, so that when we repeat and we rephrase that content, we're always going to get an affirmative from the customer. And I say it's just we're trying to turn them into a bobblehead, right? We're just trying to get that head bob and getting them to agree, so that when we do ask for the appointment or we do ask for the business, customers are a lot more agreeable, and we win a lot more calls, and we set a lot more appointments, and we sell more cars that way. Now, emotion is very important. So I want you to reflect that emotion. Customers shopping online again, they're in a very analytical process. They're gathering data. They're making comparisons. They're maybe you've seen customers come in with an Excel spreadsheet. So what's missing in that shopping process is you, the salesperson, or you, the BDR. There's no human being present to get them excited, right, or create some urgency. So we want to be able to reflect that emotion. You know, with the charger customer, we say, oh, man, I understand how you feel. That's a lot of money. A lot of our customers have felt the same way. But what we found is once we can get together with you, we'll find a car that really meets your lifestyle. I'm sure we'll have no trouble fitting it into your budget. You know, really our success depends on our ability to do that. Right, so I'm bringing that emotion back to the customer. So now I'm rephrasing content, I'm reflecting emotion, and basically I'm building a relationship that's based on trust. And the trust comes when the customer feels like you understand them. Right, the minute they start to sense that you really get them, you understand how they feel, the position they're in, what they're trying to accomplish, it's at that moment and not before that they start to trust you. And of course, that really boosts your ethos. You become more credible, and you did it through the pathos, right, through really reflecting that emotion in the customer's imagination. And your logos is there because you did it in a clear, easy-to-understand answer. I want to show you something here. This is old stuff, right? Feel, felt, found. I don't know where it came around, how long it's been around. I saw it first in a Dale Carnegie book, I believe. But feel, felt, found is the way we reflect emotion. And it's just this simple, hey, I understand how you feel. A lot of our customers have felt the same way. But what we found is, and boom, you give them your solution. You don't necessarily have to use the words feel, felt, found. You can say, oh, man, I know what you mean, right? I had a customer the other day in the same boat. So it's the same process, feel, felt, found, but it's a great way to show empathy, and it's a great way to boost your trust with that customer. Hey, again, it's all about them trusting you as an advisor, believing what you say. It's only then will you be able to persuade that customer. Four. Speak, we're rolling through these, Eliana. Number four, speak the language of the brain. So this is fun. This is one of my favorite things to talk about and learn about, but also to put into practice. So you can divide our brain into two halves, the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. The left side of the brain is very analytical. It's where logic comes into play. It's designed around precise details. So that online shopper is in a very left brain process, right? Because this is what they're doing. They're trying to make sense. They're trying to put logic behind the data they're looking at. They're very analytical. And they're getting into the precise details of what maybe something cost, what they think their payment might be. And these are all come from the logos part of your conversation with the customer. The right side of the brain is all about pathos. It's about empathy. It's about imagination, emotion. The right side of your brain is very creative. It's very intuitive. And it kind of sees things in the big picture. And we really think, again, we really think in pictures. So, Eliana, I think we've got another poll question. So let's do that.
Yes, we do. All right, audience, you have your second poll question, your last poll question, actually, of the day on the screen now. We want to know what you think. We want you to finish this sentence. The right side of the brain is primarily focused on... That's right. Please select one of the following answers. Precise details, logic, imagination, analytics, or logos. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. And yeah, one of those is actually the right answer. So, the right side of the brain is primarily focused on which one of those answers do you think is the correct one? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. And by the way, if you have a question for the great Greg Wells, send those questions in. We want to help you be more persuasive, all right? So get those questions in. We're going to be getting to the Q&A session after Greg's presentation. And you're right, Greg, you are flying through this, all right? Audience, thank you so much. Ooh, almost everyone has voted now. So, Greg, Oh, we saw some more votes coming in. Greg, if you're ready, I will close this poll and share the results. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right, let's close this poll. Audience, thank you so much for your votes. It really, really means a lot to us. All right. No one picked precise details. 6% of today's audience believe the right side of the brain primarily focuses on logic. But the majority, 74% of today's audience, think it's imagination that the right side of the brain is focused on. Only 14% of today's audience believe it is analytics, and the remaining 6% think it's logos. So, my dear friend, Greg Wells, what is the correct answer?
Hey, majority rules. Imagination.
Imagination. Oh, see, now I might have gotten that one wrong as well. Audience, thank you so much for your votes. And like I said, if you have any questions for today's Dealer On webinar presenter, send them on in. We're looking to get a really great, robust Q&A session going after Greg's presentation, which is coming to a close pretty soon. So hopefully we'll hear from you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so we're still in the Speak the Language of the Brain. And I talk about this every day with our employees. When we're in the discovery mode and we're trying to learn about the customer and we're trying to get their story, we want to use the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions. And I remember when I was a little kid, something we were taught in elementary school, and it was to learn all the answers beneath the sky, go to your friends, who, what, where, when, how, and why. So how we phrase the question has a lot to do with how the customer is going to respond. So, for example, if I said to a customer, would you like to schedule an appointment for a test drive? The customer's brain is looking for yes or no. It's looking for a yes or no answer. And they could say no, right, because maybe they're not ready. They may say yes, but I don't want to take that chance. So a better way to ask that question would be, hey, you know what, sounds like we just need to get together. When are you available to come in for a test drive? Maybe it's the trade-in where you say, you know, do you have a trade-in? That's a yes or no question. A better way to approach that would be, what are you driving now? Oh, really, tell me about it. How long have you had it? Where did you get it? Has it been a good car? And then why are you trading it in, right? What has happened to make you want to replace this vehicle? And when you do that, there's always a story there. So, you know, why are you trading your car in? Well, it could be, it's usually got a wife, lost a wife. You know, got a job, lost a job. Got a camper, lost a camper. Had a long commute, now I got a short commute. And we learn why the customer is in this process. And when we do that, we're going to be a much better advisor when we understand really the emotion behind it. And there's always emotion behind it. That your vehicle's like the family dog. It's part of the family. It's how we get to work. It's how we get to grandma's house. It's how we get to the grocery store. It's how we get to church. It's a big part of our lifestyle. It's a big decision for customers, and they really fear that they're going to make a mistake. So let's get the story by using the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions. We do this when we're in discovery mode. There is a place for the either or and the yes or no questions, and that's coming up in a bit, and that's really when we're trying to close the deal. Remember, people think in pictures. And when we ask who, what, when, where, why, and how questions, people picture that. They can't help it. So if I tell you right now that I'm driving a 2012 Nissan Maxima, I picture my car. I think about that car. And the same thing goes when we're talking to them. The brain cannot not do something. So when we're descriptive and we're asking questions that will pull the story out of the customer, it really is like showing a movie, right? It's like that there's a screen in their right brain and you're showing them a movie, and you're just doing that so that we can bring emotion, into the process. Also telling stories. So you want the customer's story, but nothing sells like telling stories. So it's okay to tell them about a customer you had the other day, or we had someone in the same position, or you know what, I just had a customer this morning that was trying to accomplish the same thing. And then tell them how you resolved it, what the solution was. people trust what people trust other people more than they do you. So when you use other people as examples and tell their stories, this lowers sales resistance. It makes the customer feel more comfortable. Hey, I'm not the only one that's gone through this. So that superpower of using speaking the language of the brain is really just to persuade the customer through using emotion, and you do that by using their imagination and getting them to visualize things. Again, when I describe my process in detail, the customer kind of pictures that, right? They've got this image of pulling into the car dealership and there's four or five people out front. Oh gosh, they're going to pounce on me. No, walk them through the process. Hey, when you arrive, park here, come in, see the receptionist, ask for so-and-so. He's going to have the car cleaned up, parked near the showroom. And when we go through that process and we tell those stories and we're descriptive, customers are going to see that, and we're showing them a movie that they want to see. When I talked about the trade-in and why are you trading it in, we're really trying to discover the customer's dominant buying motive. This was a phrase that Napoleon Hill used in his book, Think and Grow Rich. What's the dominant buying motive? And we might just think of it, what's their hot buttons, right? So the emotion has to outweigh the logic. Buying a car, especially a new vehicle, is not always a very logical decision, right? Because you might be pressing the budget. We know this car is going to depreciate. So we have to bring more emotion. And as we add emotion to the left side, you see the logic goes up. So the more emotional they feel comfortable with it, the more it makes sense to them. The logic gets on board. The mind will follow the heart, in other words. All right, number five. This is easily my favorite. Win the call with tie downs. So tie down is a statement that suggests a yes, isn't it? And I turned that statement into a tie down, didn't I? And I did that by just adding a question to the end of it, right? So really, you could take any statement and turn it into a question, couldn't you? Because I just did it again, didn't I? So now you kind of see what I'm doing, don't you? Because you're on to me, aren't you? So all a tie down does is suggest a yes. So instead of maybe saying, do you like this color? I might say, you like this color, don't you, Eliana? And I tie it down. A tie down can also be a question with a controlled or expected response. It might be oversimplifying it, but really, when you ask a question, the response is already predetermined by how you ask the question. So just as an example, let's say Eliana was my customer, and I wanted to call Eliana, and I wanted to make sure that she was available to take my call. I might say, hey, Eliana, it's Greg. Did I catch you at a good time? And she says, yes. I could say, Eliana, did I catch you at a bad time? And she would say, no. So I got two different answers, but the same with two different answers to the same situation. It's all in how we ask the question. So this is something you've got to practice. You've got to work at it. But really, when you think about the trouble you have setting appointments, go back and think about, you know, am I really persuading this customer? Am I getting their story? Am I building towards the close? Am I getting the customer to agree with me? So when we go back and we think about reflecting, and we're just feeding back the customer's story, and they're nodding and say, yeah, that's it, you got me. And we think about pulling the story out with the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions. The customer is just getting this feeling that you understand them. And now things become agreeable and there's chemistry, so that when you ask for the appointment, you're much more likely to get it. So now when I say, you know, sounds like we just need to get together, let me tell you how we do that here at BDC Motors. We'll pick a convenient time for you to come in. And you go through the process, right? We'll have the car ready, all those things. And you end it with, how does that sound? And that's a tie down. How does that sound? Because the expected response is, that sounds good. And then you can follow up with, great, can you come in right now, or would tonight be better? When you think about either or questions, they're really tie downs because you're controlling the response. You're limiting the response. So if I ask someone, do you like it well enough to own it? They say yes, and a lot of that has to do with just the way I ask the question, my tonality, but also I've laid the groundwork by using all my powers of persuasion up until the point where I'm trying to close the deal. So that's it, Eliana. There's some resources out there for people. There's a lot of good information on Wikipedia and Google about Aristotle's Triangle of Rhetoric. We blog pretty frequently on our website on topics like this. And then also I've learned a lot of what I've shared with you today from a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm sure everybody's heard of that book. It's been around since the 80s. It's a great read, and I read it about once every year or two, and every time I do, I just learn more. So I think it's just a great resource. It's not a car person book, but you can take everything in that book and easily see how they how they translate into what you're trying to do every day in the showroom, trying to move those cars. So those are some great resources. Some action items for you. Go back, look at your scripts, look at your call guides, and look for ways to weave these practices into your process. Just change it around, right? Make sure you're asking the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions early in the call. Make sure you're using those tie downs and those closing questions when you're trying to get the appointment or trying to get their phone number, trying to get an email address. If you do the groundwork, if you build your ethos, the customer feels like they get you because you reflected, you played it all back to them, and you use discovery words, and then you go to close. You'll find the close is much easier because the whole process has been designed to create chemistry with the customer and gain agreement. So, listen, nothing works 100% of the time, but what we've found, what I've learned over 25 years, what we see in our outsourced BDC, where we're fielding tens of thousands of calls a month, is that these techniques improve conversion, and that's really all we're trying to do. So if you've got a target out there with your phone ups, for example, to convert 60% to an appointment, you're sitting at 30%, go back and look at your call guide, look at your script. What can we do to it to build some of these techniques into it so that our people become more persuasive on the phone? Eliana's got a handout for you. Use that handout to share with your coworkers. And listen, she gave you my contact info. I am always happy to help. So if you have any questions, need any other material, don't hesitate to call me. I'll be happy to share anything with you. Like I said, I'm always happy to help. And the last thing I can tell you is this stuff doesn't come natural. You have to think about it. You have to practice, practice, practice. It is through practice that we master these techniques at All Call, and it's only through practice that you'll be able to master these techniques in your dealership. Again, we have to learn these skills, but once they're acquired, they'll stay with you forever. And you also find that they work in your personal life too, right? We can be persuasive at home, at church, in the community. These are all techniques to help you be that persuasive person. And we all want to be persuasive because we all know what we want and we want what we want. And these five superpowers will certainly help you accomplish that. So, Eliana, it's time for some questions.
It is. Well, almost. Good job.
Almost.
Good job.
Right.
Yes. By the way, Scott wrote in. He says, great job, Mr. Wells. And David Sharp wrote in and says, I'm reading that book right now, the one from Stephen Covey, by the way.
Oh, cool.
So we already have some fans of those. But, yes, audience, we need your questions, so send them on in. We want to help you be more persuasive. So send those questions in. Maybe you have a scenario you want to run by Greg Wells and see how he would handle that situation. Write on in, and we're going to get to that Q&A session very, very shortly. Before we do that, though, it's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, I announced that our good friends over at All Call giving away a really cool prize today on the webinar. You can go to that next slide, Greg, if you wouldn't mind. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win an Amazon Echo. It is so cool. Seriously, I have an 8-year-old kid, and my kid plays with the Amazon Echo every day, asks it questions, it'll play a game. I mean, it's really cool. It is a cool, cool thing to have in your house, all right? So all you have to do is be the first person with the correct answer to our giveaway question. So get ready, get to your keyboards. Come on now. First person that writes in that correct response is going to be winning this sweet prize today. If you are a vendor, we do appreciate your attendance today, as always, on all of our Dealer On webinars, but we're going to ask you to sit this one out. This prize is intended for dealership personnel only, but we do love having you here. All right, but for everyone else, good luck, everyone. And just so you know, this is not an easy question. It was not actually in a slide, although he did talk about it for quite a while. All right. So I hope you guys took great notes. Here we go. Here's your question. Good luck, everyone. Of the five levels of listening that Greg covered earlier, which describes listening with the intent to understand? No, we're not looking for a number. We're actually looking for a word, actually three words. But I'll take one word if you give me the right word. Okay, so let me repeat that. Of the five levels of listening, and remember, it was not on a slide. These words were not on a slide, so you had to hear. You had to listen with intent. Isn't that funny? Okay, so the five levels of listening that Greg covered earlier, which describes listening with the intent to understand. I'm going to scroll back up here and see if one of you people got it right. Let's see. Whoa, somebody did get it right. Tess Rocha. Rocha? Rocha? I don't know how to say that last name, but Tess, you are our winner. Tess wrote in empathy, and I'll take it. The answer was listening with empathy. Congratulations, Tess Rocha. Rocha. However you say it. Tess, you're a winner in my book, my friend. Write on in. Let me know what dealership you're from. Congratulations, Tess. Not a lot of people got that one right, just so you know. Yes, it was listening with empathy. And I'm going to need your mailing address too, Tess. So write on in. Tess is with Turner Toyota. Congratulations, Tess. You are the winner today. We got to thank everyone for playing along. We have a lot of people that played along today. Thank you so much, and don't worry, I know you didn't win today, but it's okay, because you know what? We give away really cool prizes every week, every Thursday on every Dealer On webinar. So come on back for another Dealer On webinar, and who knows, that could be the day you're our lucky winner, all right? But today, it is Tess, so congratulations, Tess. And of course, we got to thank our good friends over at My All Call for their incredible generosity. That's a really cool prize. Enjoy it, Tess. Don't forget to write on in your mailing address, okay, my friend? Let me write this in. Turner Toyota. Okay. Now, we don't have a lot of questions that came in for you, Greg. I assume it is because you did such an excellent job of explaining every single detail of the five superpowers of persuasion. But if I'm wrong, write on in and give me a question for Greg. But I do have a couple questions for you, Greg. So if you're ready, go to that next slide, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Okay, your first question comes to us from Allison. Allison says, how much talking should we let a prospect do before we take over the conversation and start asking questions?
that's a good question. Some customers, man, it's like they want to give you their life story, right? I would think you've got to let it be natural. You really don't want to cut them off. So you gotta let them get it all out. But listen, you know, if they're talking, this is an opportunity for you to learn. So if they're a lot of customers start out with, well, what happened was, and they tell you their story. So listen to that story. If you've got that customer that's really long-winded, really a time waster. We're not getting anywhere. They're just babbling on. I think it's okay to take back control of the call and just say, hey, listen, let's get back on this car. I think that's okay, but it's a judgment call for sure. But I like to listen as much as I can, because if they're talking, then I'm learning.
All right, Allison, thank you so much for the great question. And unless another question comes in, this is our last question is coming in right now. This one is Tom, from Tom. And Tom says, are there any exercises we can do or download to be better at these five powers of persuasion? Greg, what would you suggest? How does somebody get better? I know you said practice, but how do you practice?
Well, it's role play, right? And this is just something we don't do enough of in our business. We talk about it, and we always say we're going to do it, but it's really just getting with your buddy or getting with a coworker and practice, right? You've got your call guide or your script in your hand, and let them call you on your cell phone and just be the customer and just practice through it. I really prefer you practice with each other instead of practicing on your customers. But again, this is such a dynamic topic because, first of all, we know customers don't always know their lines, right? We've got our script, we've got our call guide. The customer's totally, you know, on their own program, and they have their own agenda. So it takes some salesmanship, it takes some skill to be able to think on your feet, but also it's just through practice and repetition that this just becomes the way we talk to people. And this is what I'm always trying to accomplish in our business is train to the point that it becomes instinctive. Everything we do comes from training or instinct, and it's only through repetition that it becomes kind of second nature, that muscle memory, if you will, is developed. So just practice. Find a buddy, find a coworker, just practice until you feel really good about it. But listen, when you do get on the phone with a customer, regardless of your skill level, be confident. They don't know if you're making a mistake. They don't know if you're off target or off script. So just be confident, be the expert, get the practice in when you can, and I think you'll do great with these techniques.
I love it. Speaking of that, by the way, great question, Tom. Thank you. Last question comes to you from Ben. Ben says, do you have any advice for best practices with customers that only want to email? That is a great question because there are people like that. They don't want to get on the phone. They just want email.
Yeah, well, that's tough, right? I mean, even for us, that's a tough situation. One thing I'll tell you about your emails is you got to bring some visual to it. So any kind of video, any links to cars, any extra added value is going to show that you're serving them and being an asset and being helpful. So even, for example, even if the Carfax is on the website, when you're emailing about a car, attach the Carfax. I do know an email with an attachment on it is going to get open more often. So that would be my advice is when you're using email to communicate, always give them more than they expected. Always have that added value. Give them a little more, show a little more effort into digging up information for them. Maybe it's a comparison of some cars. Maybe you walk out and shoot a video of the car we're talking about. Maybe it's the service ROs, the Carfax history. Just look for ways to add value to your email because you don't have that tonality. You don't have that body language. So we have to bring some visual stuff into it, and we do that by providing, piece components to your email.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And Ben, great question. I really appreciate it. So, Greg,
yeah.
I think, in my opinion, albeit non-expert opinion, I think today's presentation was filled with lots of ethos, pathos, and logos. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Enjoyed it very much.
Ben says, thanks for your help. I look forward to more of these. And Dino says, this was great. Thanks. And I have to agree. Thank you so much, Greg, for being here. I always love having you on my show. Let's not go too
welcome.
Long before we do it again. Okay, my friend?
I'll be ready.
All right. I know you will. I want to remind the audience, a link to download a copy of today's webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Don't forget, you can also download immediately the handouts in the handout section of the GoToWebinar interface is this slide deck from Greg Wells. So if you want to download it, you still have a few minutes to do that before we close out the show. Just check out the handouts section of your GoToWebinar interface. Also, this webinar recording is going to be posted online within 24 hours. So just go to dealeron.com/webinars and view our upcoming webinar schedule and access any of our past webinars too. And yeah, this webinar is going to close in just a moment. When it does, you're going to get a short survey. We are asking you to please fill this out. We're always looking for great feedback from our audience. We want to know what you thought of Greg Wells' presentation today. We're going to randomly select a couple of people from all the completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And Dealeron is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming NADA convention in Vegas at the end of March. If you're going to be there, guess what? I'm going to be there. So stop by the booths. Come over and say hi. It's booth 6626N. And we're super excited to announce that we're running a really great promotional special for the show. So all you have to do, here's the deal, all you have to do is pre-schedule and attend a demo of Dealeron's cool products at NADA. Pre-schedule it now, show up at NADA, and you will get $100. It's really that simple, right? And hey, if you wind up signing with Dealeron, if you sign the contract at the show, we're going to upgrade that $100 to an iPad Air 2 or an Apple Watch. We're not messing around here. We're serious. You're going to love what we have to show you. And we know it. We're putting some money behind it. So go to dealeron.com/dealeron-takes-NADA-2016. I'm sure there's a button on the homepage too. Fill out the form to pre-schedule your demo today, and we will see you at NADA. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealeron webinar. Yeah, it's going to be, the next Thursday is actually St. Paddy's Day. So, of course, we had to work something into there, right? So it's finding your pot of gold with video email. In the automotive world, video has finally caught on as a powerful sales tool for all sales professionals. After all, what car shopper wouldn't love a personalized video? It's far better than any autoresponder you might currently be using, right? However, many internet departments or dealerships find it difficult to make effective eye-catching videos. Do you know how to effectively use videos in your emails to sell more cars? In this eye-opening presentation, Matt Koenig will show you how to stand out from the competition and get your current customers back to buy again with fast and easy video email strategies. It's not luck. It's your video skills that will bring swift and dramatic results. Attendees of this fast-paced one-hour webinar is going to learn the most popular video email platforms on the market, the best techniques for getting customers to engage with your video email, how to automate video email that feels personal, and best practices so you don't end up chasing fool's gold. It's no blarney here. If you're searching for a way to make your dealership stand out, put more green in your pocket, and absolutely dominate your market, then don't you dare miss this free one-hour presentation. Register now, and don't forget, Dealeron's weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. And we have some awesome webinar subjects planned for 2016. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, I'm your webinar girl, so please contact me directly. You can find me everywhere online. I'm literally everywhere. Find me everywhere, or hey, just email me directly at Eliana at dealeron.com.